And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I'd like to just kind of give an overview really today of all the incredible readings that God puts before us. But the theme really in today's worship comes from Deuteronomy, from the Old Testament reading in the first verse. And did you hear it? This is quite an incredible announcement from God, from heaven, to his church and to you and me individually as his people. And so the Lord announces, "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession, out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth." Wow, what a statement from God. Have you ever thought of yourself as being a treasured possession? But that's how God sees each one of his precious people. That's how God sees the church that he has called to faith. And it's important in light of that to understand the context of these times. And it hasn't been real good times for God's people in terms of their rebellious attitude towards God, who announces them to be his treasured possession. Remember, they had been wandering out in the wilderness for 40 years, and the reason they were wandering out in the wilderness for 40 years as God's chosen people was because they rebelled against God. They ran after other gods, and they didn't acknowledge the God who had delivered them out of Egypt. And so for the most part, remember, that generation was not allowed to enter the promised land. There were just a few, Joshua and Caleb, a couple of them. They were rebellious. And now this next generation is ready to enter the promised land, and Moses is preparing them for this journey that is to come. And in Deuteronomy, it's an incredible book in the Bible, God reaffirms his covenant with them, reminds them of the blessings that he bestows upon them, and prepares them to start anew now as they enter into this incredible promised land that he intended for them to be living in for 40 years plus already. But they were a sinful people. And you know, that's important for us to realize, because to these people, God says, "You are my treasured possession." Despite their sinfulness, despite the rebellious attitudes that they had, they're God's chosen. And an important thing to realize is that the Lord is the one who chooses. The Lord is the one who selects his people. It's all upon God. It has nothing to do with our worthiness or unworthiness, but it's all about God's choosing to love us. Boy, that's refreshing, isn't it? Because I don't know about you, but as I look in my own sinful heart, if God was demanding me to fulfill his law before he would love me, I'd be lost. There'd be no hope. Because I can't do that. Daily, I sin, and I would assume that you would admit to the same. But it's out of love. God makes the choice. And did you see it and hear it in verse 7 of the Old Testament reading? God emphasizes in calling them and selecting them as his treasured possession, he says it was not because... it was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on, it was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all people. And so it wasn't about them. It wasn't, "Oh, these are such wonderful people, and oh my gosh, they have such status in the world. Those are the people I want to have as my people." No, God chose to love them despite the pain and the grief in their sin that they continued to bring to God. You know, in Scripture, we hear elsewhere, Romans 3, there is no one righteous, not even one. All have turned away. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's God's testimony about how worthy you and I are in and of ourselves. We have nothing, dear friends in Christ, to stand upon before God. Absolutely nothing in and of ourselves. But you know, it's wonderful to know that despite that, God still chooses you and me. He still chooses to love you and me. We are his treasured possession. But let me ask you this. This is kind of a tough question this morning, especially in light of just our nation I see just crumbling before us. And it's crumbling in terms of just simply the way that we look upon one another as fellow human beings. When you look at another individual, how do you see them? Do you see them through sinful eyes? Or do you see them as God sees them? You know, it's so easy for us in our sinful condition to want to kind of project our own sin away from ourselves and look at the bad in others. And if we can find somebody else that looks a little worse than we look, right, then, oh, okay, then that makes me look a little better, right? But what that breeds is just pride and judgmental attitude and hatred. We are God's treasured possession, despite our sinful nature. Can we just look upon a fellow human being in that way? You know, there's the old saying, you can't judge a book by its cover. Lindy and I saw the most incredible movie here recently, and it's based on a true story, and I always have to look at the title because it's a tongue-twister title. But the title of the movie is Same Kind of Different as Me. Same Kind of Different as Me. And it's a true story about a homeless man by the name of Denver Moore. And there's this very wealthy couple that are working at a soup kitchen, and the homeless are coming in. And Denver Moore is one of those homeless people. He comes in with a baseball bat. He starts busting windows at this place where they're serving the meal. Starts beating up on the tables and throws the bat in the air and walks out. How would you approach that guy? Well, you know what? He kept coming back, and they patiently put up with what he was doing. And then finally, one day, the husband of this couple followed him out the door and just simply asked, "What are you so angry about?" And he started a dialogue. Really brings tears to my eyes to see this angry, violent, broken black man. And here's this very wealthy white guy that wouldn't even have to be there. But he extends God's love to this individual. And through a journey of dialogue and through getting his own car beat up by the guy with the same baseball bat, he endured all of that. And it came to the point where Denver Moore became a very productive working citizen in the United States of America. And even began to speak on his life. Because two people saw a treasured possession in a broken man. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in the times you and I are living now, it's so important that we see people as God sees them, that we see others as God sees ourselves. That we truly recognize the devastation of our own sin. Oh, we may look kind of nice on the outside, but we're no different on the inside. We're pathetic sinners. But God still loves us. And he's changed you and me for eternity. Don't we want to offer that to someone else? And it really is a prime time in the midst of the ugliness that is going on. What a time for the gospel to shine. What a time for God's people extending simple acts of love to those who may even threaten us, with the hope that that love will take root in the heart of another. But you know, then that kind of comes down to that question. It's a real challenge for you and me, because it begs the question, what really is my treasured possession? And I ask that to you. What really is your treasured possession? And I think of that in my own life as you know, is there something I'm tempted to put at the top of my list, and God's going to be somewhere below it? That's the ones we have to really be careful with. And we all have them. And the question is, what is yours? And I ask, what is mine? And today I hope that God really gets us to look at that. You know, Jesus addresses this issue in Matthew chapter 6. And I'd like to read these verses, and I think we have them for the screen. But he says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Boy, Jesus, he always hits the heart, doesn't he? You know, so whatever we outwardly are showing that, boy, this is extremely important to me, and perhaps, dare I say, even more important than God, then that's very revealing of where my heart is. Where your treasure is, there your heart is. And so it comes back to that question, what is your treasure? What is your most prized possession? Maybe it brings you pleasure. Maybe it brings you a sense of security. But it's apart and above God. Well, only you can answer that. Only God can reveal that to your heart as he reveals it to mine. But the reality is we're broken people. And God could write us all off, right? He could have written the Jews off, obviously. Man, you know, I put you out in the wilderness for 40 years and you still rebel against me. You still complain. But God says, I choose to love you. And oh my goodness, what a price. What a price God was willing to pay and did pay for his treasure. His treasure. His treasured possession. Each one of us individually, the church collectively. In Deuteronomy 7:6 or 7, we heard from the Old Testament, God said, it was not because, but then we hear God explaining why in verse 8, but it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to you, to your fathers, that the Lord has brought you out with an almighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So God says it's not because of who you are or of your numbers or of characteristics you have, but he makes it very clear, it's because I love you. It's because God says, I've made this promise. I made it to Adam and Eve, the seed of the woman. I promised that there would be this Savior. I promised it to Abram and Jacob and Isaac. And I'm not going to renege on my promise. God never does. He chooses to love. And when God makes that choice, it's steadfast and it will not change. And so we heard in Romans, didn't we, how great the price was God was willing to pay. In Romans 8:32, he did not spare his own son. He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. And we hear through that in that passage that we are justified, we're declared not guilty by God, even though we are guilty by our own actions, but God declares us not guilty in his grace. And the reason is because Jesus took our place. He died as we hear in that passage, once for all. And he rose again victoriously from the grave. And he's even interceding for us. You ever think about that? Jesus still speaking in our defense in heaven. What an awesome God you and I are blessed to know and to worship. And through what the Lord has accomplished, we know that we are called. And by the way, where we hear called, chosen, predestined, those are purely gospel terms. God never uses those for law. In other words, God never says, I predestined you to be sent to that place of hell that I have for all people separated from me. Never in Scripture does God say he predestines anyone to hell or that he chooses or elects someone to be damned. This is purely gospel. It's a reaffirmation from God to you and me. Even before the foundations of the world, God says, I called you. That God has known those who would believe, those who would not reject him from eternity past. And God comes to you and me and he says, oh, you're my treasured possession. And I want you to know that. I want to reaffirm that with you because I know how broken you are in your sin. But I want you to know I love you and I forgive you and you are mine. The gospel reading this morning, incredible, incredible words, aren't they? When you heard that, Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Who do you think the one is that's buying the field? A lot of people think that that's each one of us individually. Oh, you know, I found the gospel and so now I'm going to give all my life away for the gospel. Well, I firmly believe this is not about us, it's about Jesus. He's the one that purchases the field. He sells all that he has. He gives away everything that he has, even his life. Why? Because this is his treasured possession. He desires that the world would be saved. And then Jesus goes on to say, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls who on finding one pearl of great value went out and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the pearl is you. The pearl is me. And the one who's giving it all away, selling everything that he may have this pearl is our Lord Jesus who died for us. Treasured possession. We couldn't be honored by God in a greater way than he addressing you and me as his treasured possession. Well, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it begs the question again, what is your treasured possession? And how much are you willing to give up for that possession? You know, we hear that too, don't we, in Romans this morning. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Maybe we're entering in America as Christians a time when we're going to really begin to deal with those issues. I think we're there. We're getting there. And I don't know where it's going, but we need to be prepared. And the question is, am I willing to die for my faith? Am I willing to starve for my faith? How valuable is this possession that God has given to me? Or am I willing just to let it go for the comfort and the pleasures of life on this earth? Is it worth it? Well, we go back to the Old Testament reading in Deuteronomy 7, 8, and 9. Again, it's because the Lord loves us that he's done this, that he's called us his treasured possession. But then we hear, know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps a covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keeps his commandments to 1,000 generations. God is faithful and his love is steadfast. Whatever we would be tempted to put as a treasure in place of God to make our life seem more comfortable is going to fail us. but not God. Even at that point when we are dying and our life is ending on this earth, God will not fail you, but he will be with you and he's going to welcome you into glory. And you're simply transitioning from life on earth to glory. And God affirms that to us, and I conclude with these words. Think about the priceless treasure we have. Knowing all these things, in Romans again, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, neither angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor depth nor height, nor anything else in all creation. We could put COVID in there and all the consequences of COVID would fit right in that passage. None of these things will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And because of that love, dear friends, dear brothers and sisters, we are God's treasured possession. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord, who loves us, who died for us, who intercedes for us, who lives for us, and who is with us always. Amen.